Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here. Pray that you are doing well. Over half of the year has already gone by. That means, there are some people, I saw this on a post recently. They do Christmas in July because of where their family ministers. Some of them are missionaries, and they were taking Christmas photos this time of the year. And I was like, man, that's awful hard to wrap my head around. Although if you are in the southern hemisphere, then this is the cooler time of the year, and it feels more like Christmas than, you know, when it's 85, 90 degrees outside. But all of that to say, hi, how are you today? My name is Bob Arthurs, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We want to say thank you today to the folks of Jits Concrete. Jits Concrete has been in Brevard County doing all things concrete for decades and decades now. They have a tremendous wealth of experience of successful projects. Contractors that I know have said, your concrete guy is my concrete guy. And if you are looking for something to be done, you know, I've seen them work in, you know, very, very early hours of the morning, so that they could get what needed to be done so that the material would not be compromised. And then they also knew how to protect it when the storms came. And so Jits Concrete, they've got decades of experience. They have tremendous expertise as far as the materials, the time factors, the codes. They have expertise as far as networking and where to find the best material at the best price. And then they have a great work ethic from beginning to end, from demolition to job prep to installation or pouring to the finishing and the cleanup, and then getting out of the way so that your project can move forward. Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. We want to thank them for being friends of the Refresh Radio program. So today we are going to move to Romans chapter 5. We're talking about the benefits of love and how it applies to our life. And so today I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 11. How far we get through that remains to be seen. But we're going to see there's a lot of interconnected activities or interconnected benefits that for one of them leads to something else. There's a process, and I would say that right now in modern times in 2026, many people are looking to experience a particular benefit of the gospel without necessarily understanding the process. So we're gonna walk through the process. I've got several things highlighted here that we see repeatedly, phrases that we see repeatedly talked about in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So let me start reading there, and then we will dive right in, shall we? Verse number 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. So, there are two passages here that specifically mention the love of God. It's in verse number 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And then in verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This passage also talks about that Jesus acted on our behalf, not because we were good people, as some people would claim, but because we were his enemies. And I will tell you this, the hostilities between God and us were not God. They were our choices, declaring ourselves to be God's enemy. And Jesus told the story, hey, if you are facing an enemy and you look at them and you see that they are more powerful than you, that you don't stand a chance of victory, you need to address that situation in advance, because if not, the future looks very bleak for you. And so you need to assess the situation. You need to assess the threat very accurately. And for us, the Father, God the Father, is our solution. He's not the threat. The threat is that God will leave us in our sins and leave us to our own choices, and thus we subject ourselves to the abuse and stealing and killing and destroying that the enemy would like to have. Because while we are enemies with God, there is a breach of relationship. So I don't really think that too many people realize that sin does break the fellowship that we're supposed to have with God. It is a breach in the relationship. A lot of people live as if they want to do whatever they want to do and that there are no relational consequences, but that is not what is described in the Word of God. Our sin does for us the same thing that Adam and Eve's sin did in the Garden of Eden. It is something that is not acceptable in the sight of God, and it leads to a relational dynamic shift that is not healthy, not holy, not good. But even in that, God still has a heart for us to be reconciled. And so I don't know if you've ever had someone who chose to change the relational dynamic in your life while you still wanted to have a relationship with them. And for some unknown reason, they decided, okay, this relationship is over, and bam, they were gone. That may not indicate that you were in agreement with that, or you were necessarily wanting to cooperate with that. You may have still had a heart for that person, prayed for them, interceded for them. And if so, then you understand the heart of God. So what does God do for us here in Romans chapter 5, these 11 verses? What is the process? What are the steps that he takes to get us back into a reconciled relationship with God, one that is based on the holiness of God, because God is not only love, but he is also perfectly holy. So there is a process that God has established, and we would do well to honor his process. So let's dive in, shall we? Therefore, having been justified by faith. Justification is not just coming in to a person's presence, an authority's presence, but being justified in doing so. As I was driving into the radio studio this morning, I'd already been in my office, I'd studied and was on my way in, and I was thinking about the book of Esther. And there are two prominent ladies in Esther. One is Vashti. And Vashti was the queen. She had everything this world could have provided for her. She was married to the most powerful person on the planet. There was tremendous celebrations that were going on. And while he was hosting the men, she was hosting the ladies, and the king summoned her into his presence, and she refused to go. And there is clearly in that situation a misunderstanding as to what the dynamic of the relationship was. She was queen because of him. He wasn't king because of her. And somehow she thought that she was justified in not coming into the presence of the king when she had been summoned. And as a result, she was removed from her position. She never came before the king again. She would eventually be replaced by a Jewish lady by the name of, we know her by Esther. Hadassah was her Jewish name, but she was queen, and her people were threatened with extermination. And right now we see a lot going on in America where Jewish people are still targeted by a unfortunately large number of people because they just don't want Jewish people to exist. I always find it a very dangerous thing to mess with a person's covenant people. If you want to see my demeanor change very quickly, you mess with those that I'm walking in covenant with. And so my first covenant is with God. My second covenant is with my wife. My third covenant is with the church. I also have the covenant with my children. You know, they were under my authority when they were young, and I still have relationship with them now, but the relational dynamic is different. They are all gifted, they're all called, and they're all equipped to be able to stand in the power of the Lord in agreement with their spouses, and they're thriving. And so I'm generally a pretty, I am motivated, but I tend to be pretty even keeled and not too much really aggravates me to the point of wanting to change my personality. I mean, I have my highs and lows, and you know, I try and have more joy than non-joy. But you know, and someone can say all sorts of things about me, and that's okay. Believe me, people have said some very painful things about me, and I still have relationship with them. But if someone threatens my spouse, and God has given me the responsibility, the privilege, and the authority to be the covering for my spouse, then all of a sudden my demeanor is going to change, the dynamic's going to change, and we're going to get any miscommunication cleared up as quickly as we possibly can. That's not unchristian. That's being diligent with the relationship that God has given to me. And so Esther is in a position as queen. She's got her people who are threatened to be exterminated. Her uncle Mordecai says, hey, you need to go to the king. And she, as his queen, could go in to the king, but she said, I can only go in when I am summoned. If I go in when I'm not supposed to be there, then I am going to be subject to death unless the king extends me the golden scepter. And so she says, if I perish, I perish. You know, I'm here for such a time as this. And she goes into the king. And if she goes in uninvited, unwelcomed, then she would not be justified to be there, and she would have been removed. So on one hand, you've got a queen who is invited, who doesn't come. And you, on the other hand, you've got a queen who does come, but she's coming because she's taking the initiative. And when she gets in there, the king is reminded, oh yeah, there's a lot of official business, but that's my queen. And all of a sudden he rearranges his agenda, not just for that day, but for the next day at Esther's invitation, because he extended the scepter to her, justified her to be in his presence, and said, what do you want? I'll give you up to half the kingdom. And she said, can we have dinner tonight? And she said, I want to invite you, and I want to invite Haman. I saw something here a few years ago. A person was saying, hey, don't invite your enemy to, you know, your banquet table. And I was like, well, Esther did. She not only did it once, she did it twice. The king comes back after, you know, they've had this great night of celebration, and there's Haman, and there's more. And he says, okay, what do you want? Up to half of the kingdom. And she said, can we do it again tomorrow? And if you come back tomorrow, I guarantee you that I will answer the question, and I will tell you what would be a significant blessing. Justification for believers happens not because a golden scepter has been extended to us, but because faith has been bestowed upon us by God. So if you were to go up into verse 25, or let's go up to verse number 23, it says, of chapter 4, Romans, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe in him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Justification is ours because we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his nature as the Son of God, God the Son, as his nature as having lived a sinless life, having a virgin birth, died on the cross, shed his blood, was crucified, and raised again on the third day and ascended to the right hand of the Father. It is because of our faith in Jesus Christ and that alone that justifies us to be in the presence of God. Not that I'm better than someone else, not that I'm worse than somebody else, not that I'm richer, not that I'm poorer. It all has to do with the access that has been granted into the presence of the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are justified by faith. There's a couple of other times. Let me just drop down to verse number 9, where it says this: much more than having been justified by his blood. So the price of our justification was the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't just get to waltz in. You know, when Haman came into the courts one day, the king said, "Hey, what should we do to the one that the king desires to bless?" And Haman said, "Who would he want to bless more than me? I'm the most trusted advisor that he's got." What he didn't realize was that the guy he was seeking to kill had actually intervened and saved the life of the king, and that was who the king was looking to bless, was Mordecai. And we don't just get to waltz in. We need to realize that we are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the result of that justification is this. Look at verse number 9. And we shall be saved from wrath through him. Whenever the Bible talks about wrath, I want to describe that there are three, you know, in very simplistic terms, there are three different types of wrath. There's the wrath of the fallen world that we live in. Sometimes we experience the wrath of, you know, creation or creatures that are groaning under the weight of sin. Their nature's been changed and bad things happen. You know, there were disastrous earthquakes that happened here a couple of weeks ago because of the amount of friction that was going on between the tectonic plates, and then things shifted and all of a sudden creation was making a lot of noise and it was very destructive. It was the wrath of a fallen world. There's also the wrath of an ungodly enemy, and that's Satan. And you just need to accept, if you're a child of God, the devil hates your guts. And he wants to make your life as miserable as possible, while God wants to make your life as holy as possible. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So there's tremendous blessings that are available about the not experiencing the wrath. There is also, and we talk about this in Revelation, there is the wrath of God. And people say, you know, who don't really read the Bible, or they read it to get what they want to get out of it, they were like, wait a minute. What do you mean the wrath of God? Well, the Bible says his wrath is equal to the fear that is due his name, the reverence, the awe, and he is worthy of it all. Don't think that God is winking at sin or pretending that it doesn't exist. That doesn't justify anything. A person can walk out of court But unless there's been a declaration that the charges have been dismissed, then they're constantly looking over their shoulder saying, is this the day that my freedom ends? Well, Jesus' blood, his death on the cross, liberates us from the wrath that it saves us from the wrath that is the wrath of God. I hope that you are living your life in such a way that the devil's not happy with you. I also hope that you are living your life in such a way that not only are you loved by God, but you're pleasing to God. So as we go into this passage, we've got to understand this foundation of being justified to be in the presence of God and justified to experience the benefits that God has for us. And those benefits are going to result in a demonstration of God's love for us and God's love being poured out upon us. We'll get to more of that later, because there's several more things that we have to talk about here in this passage. But the ultimate goal is that we get to experience the love of God, that we get to love the way that God loves, and that we experience a tangible experience with the love of God. So today, where are we starting? We're starting with justified. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God wants you to know that He stands willing and ready to forgive you of your sins and be the Lord of your life. Absolutely willing. He wants to give an official legal decree from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that says, this person is justified. They are cleared of their sins. Their sins have been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. They are saved. They are no longer in opposition to me. They are no longer subject to the wrath that comes to those who have rejected who I am and chosen a path of rebellion. They stand forgiven, and they stand saved, and they stand justified. And he who the Son sets free is free indeed. May you go out today knowing that you have right to be in the presence of God. God bless you. See you tomorrow here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.